Welcome to Stoic Training. I'm glad you're here because today's conversation might just change the way you see yourself and how others see you. Here's the thing. Truly intelligent men, they've got a secret. It's not about having all the answers or knowing the capital of every country. Number their real power is in knowing when to keep their mouths shut. Sometimes, what you don't say says more about you than any clever quote ever could. I've spent years studying people, both through the lens of ancient Stoic wisdom and by sipping too many coffees while watching human nature unfold in real time. And let me tell you, the wisest men I've known have something in common. They don't waste words. They don't rush to fill silence. And they never, never say things that chip away at their credibility. So today, we're diving into 7 things intelligent men never say. Not because they're flawless, but because they've learned, sometimes the hard way, that these phrases lead nowhere good. Stick around, hit that subscribe button, and let's get wiser together. 1. I already know that. There's a phrase that slips out more often than we'd like to admit. I already know that. It sounds harmless, even confident, but what it really reveals is something far less flattering, a closed mind. And an intelligent man knows better. He knows that the moment we convince ourselves there's nothing more to learn, we've slammed the door on growth. I learned this the hard way. Years ago, I was working with a mentor, a man who carried himself with the quiet certainty of someone who had lived through enough battles to speak sparingly. We were reviewing a process I had done 100 times before. He began explaining something about it, and without thinking, I cut him off with, "Yeah, I know that already." He gave me a look, calm but heavy, and moved on. Later that evening, I realized what I had done. Not just interrupted him, but robbed myself of the chance to hear what he saw that I didn't. His years of experience had taught him things that didn't come printed in manuals or outlined in training videos. Things I hadn't lived long enough to understand. When we say, "I already know that," what we're really saying is, "I have nothing left to learn." That's not intelligence. That's arrogance dressed in the costume of competence. And Stoic philosophy cuts right through that illusion. Marcus Aurelius warned us plainly, "You cannot learn anything when you think you already know everything." What he meant was that the ego, our need to seem knowledgeable, to protect the image we've built, becomes the very thing that blocks our growth. It convinces us we're standing on solid ground when we're really balancing on pride. Intelligent men understand that knowledge is not a trophy you win and place on a shelf. It's a river, always moving, always changing. You step in the same place twice, and the water is different each time. I once watched a seasoned carpenter listen patiently to an apprentice explaining a technique he had likely mastered decades before. He nodded, asked questions, even thanked him for sharing. Later, I asked him why he didn't just tell the kid he knew all that already. He smiled and said, "Because sometimes you learn more by listening to the way someone else sees it." That's wisdom, and it's a kind of intelligence that doesn't need to broadcast itself. So if you catch yourself thinking, "I've heard this before," take a breath, listen anyway. Not because you need to humor someone, but because you might catch something new. A detail, a shift in perspective, a nuance that deepens your understanding. And even if you don't, you practice humility, you show respect, and over time, that makes you someone worth listening to. In Stoicism, we call that mastery of the self, the ability to set aside pride in favor of clarity, the strength to be a student of life, always. And in the end, that's the kind of intelligence that outlasts all the rest. 2. That's impossible. Several years ago, I worked alongside a man named Robert. He was sharp, experienced, the kind of leader who seemed to carry the weight of the entire company on his shoulders without ever showing strain. But there was one phrase he used often, almost like a reflex. "That's impossible." Anytime a new idea surfaced, whether it was a proposal to enter a different market, streamline an outdated system, or even approach a difficult client, he dismissed it with those two words. At first, it sounded practical, responsible even. After all, who has time to waste chasing pipe dreams? But over time, something became painfully clear. Every time he said, "That's impossible," it wasn't the situation he was describing. It was himself, his own limits, his own fear. The Stoics understood this kind of thinking well. Seneca wrote that we suffer more often in imagination than in reality, and that's exactly what Robert was doing. He wasn't analyzing a situation objectively, he was projecting his own fear of failure onto it. Fear of the unknown, fear of being wrong, fear of trying and coming up short. It's a quiet fear, the kind that doesn't look like fear at all. It wears the mask of logic, caution, practicality. But underneath it is the very thing that keeps us small. The belief that if we can't see the entire path, we shouldn't take the first step. Stoic philosophy cuts through this self-imposed paralysis by reminding us that the obstacle isn't the problem, it's our perception of the obstacle that defeats us. I've seen this firsthand. There was a project I was once part of years after working with Robert. The budget was tight, the timeline shorter than seemed reasonable, and the team inexperienced. Every logical bone in my body told me it couldn't be done, but instead of saying, "That's impossible," I tried something different. I asked myself, "What can I control today? What's the next small step I can take?" That project turned out to be one of the most successful I've ever worked on, not because we performed miracles, but because we refused to be paralyzed by the scope of the challenge. We stayed focused on the next step, then the next. Marcus Aurelius said, "You have power over your mind, not outside events." And that became the difference. When a man says, "That's impossible," he is declaring defeat before the fight begins. Intelligent men know that what often feels impossible is just unfamiliar. It's not a wall. It's a challenge to step forward. They understand that strength is not built by winning every battle, but by showing up again and again, especially when the odds seem stacked. That's the essence of Stoic courage, not reckless optimism, but disciplined persistence. In life, we are often asked to do difficult things, and the moment we label them impossible, we close the door on ourselves. But the man who learns to take the next step, no matter how small, opens doors no one else even sees. That's not just intelligence. That's wisdom forged in effort. 3. That's not my fault. One of the most damaging sentences a man can utter is, "That's not my fault." It's deceptively simple, and it often feels justified in the moment. When things go wrong, at work, in a relationship, in life, it's natural to want to defend ourselves, to make it clear that the blame belongs somewhere else. But here's the truth. Every time we push responsibility away, we hand over our power with it. Intelligent men understand this deeply. They've learned that responsibility isn't about blame, it's about influence. And if you refuse to take responsibility, even for a small part of the problem, you surrender the chance to be part of the solution. I saw this unfold years ago when a friend of mine, Michael, lost a major client. He was quick to explain why it wasn't his fault. The client was difficult, the market was shifting, his team missed deadlines. All true, to a degree. But while he was busy explaining why he wasn't to blame, the opportunity to learn from the experience, and improve slipped away. He stayed stuck, repeating the same mistakes, convinced it was always someone else's problem to fix. What he didn't realize was that by refusing to claim any responsibility, he gave up the one thing that could have changed his outcome: control over himself. The Stoics believed that we should focus on what is within our control and release the rest. Epictetus said, "It is not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters." And that's the key. When we say, "That's not my fault," we place the power to change the situation in someone else's hands. We wait for them to fix it, to make amends, to do better. But when we accept even a small piece of responsibility, we immediately reclaim control. We shift from being passive to active, from powerless to powerful. In my own life, I've found that owning my part, no matter how small, opens doors I didn't see before. It might be as simple as admitting I didn't communicate clearly, or that I could have prepared better, even if others made bigger mistakes. That willingness to take responsibility shifts something inside. It builds trust, both with yourself and with those around you. It shows that you are a man who doesn't wait to be rescued or vindicated. You act. Blame is easy. Responsibility is hard. But responsibility is also where strength lives. The Stoics remind us that we are not here to escape difficulty, but to rise above it. And rising begins with saying, "What can I do differently next time?" That is how intelligent men lead, not by finding fault, but by finding a way forward. If you've found these insights valuable, let me know by commenting "yes" below. Your thoughts matter, and I'd love to hear from you. 4. I don't need any help. One of the most dangerous lies a man can tell himself is this: "I don't need any help." It sounds noble on the surface, independent, strong. It's a phrase we've been conditioned to admire, especially in a culture that often celebrates the lone wolf, the self-made man who forges his own path and carries his burdens without complaint. But the truth underneath is far less heroic. The refusal to ask for help is often not a reflection of strength, but of pride, quiet, corrosive, and blinding. It isolates us. It makes us believe that struggling in silence is a virtue, and over time, it erodes the very resilience we think we're protecting. I was reminded of this when I read about Abraham Lincoln during the darkest days of the Civil War. History paints him as a solitary figure, stoic, burdened, carrying the weight of a fractured nation on his shoulders. But what's often overlooked is how deeply Lincoln leaned on others. He surrounded himself with advisors who challenged him. He sought out opinions that contradicted his own, not because he lacked confidence, but because he understood that wisdom isn't born from isolation. It's shaped through the courage to admit you don't have all the answers. During the brutal conflict at Antietam, Lincoln famously visited General McClellan, despite their disagreements, seeking strategic insight. He spent countless hours with his cabinet, often referred to as the team of rivals, because he valued their perspectives even when they clashed with his. This was not weakness. It was strength, measured by humility. And that's the lesson intelligent men learn sooner or later. Self-reliance is important, but it was never meant to be absolute. The Stoics were clear about this. Marcus Aurelius, perhaps the most powerful man of his time, wrote openly about the debt he owed to his mentors, his teachers, his friends. He catalogued in Meditations the lessons he'd learned from each of them, acknowledging how their wisdom shaped his own. The most powerful emperor in the world did not pretend to have all the answers. Why should we? Yet, many of us do. We tell ourselves that asking for help is admitting defeat, that if we reach out, it's because we've failed to be strong enough. But that belief is a trap. It keeps us locked inside our own heads, slowly drowning in problems we were never meant to face alone. And worst of all, it robs the people around us of the chance to offer what they have. When we refuse to ask for help, we deny others the opportunity to give. We cut off the mutual support that binds people together. I've fallen into that trap myself. There was a time when I thought I had to carry it all, work, family, the endless pressures that come with trying to live up to an image of strength. I thought that keeping it together meant keeping it to myself, and all it did was wear me down. The turning point came when I finally admitted to someone I trusted that I couldn't do it alone. What I found wasn't judgment, but understanding, support, and that small moment of humility gave me the energy and clarity I had been missing for years. I realized that true strength isn't in how long you can stand alone. It's in knowing when to reach out a hand and when to take one. The Stoics teach us that we are part of a larger whole. We are made for cooperation, for mutual aid. Epictetus reminds us that no man is an island, and when we pretend otherwise, we fight the natural order of life itself. Strength is not diminished by asking for help. It's defined by it. Because asking for help requires courage. It requires honesty. And those are the hallmarks of an intelligent, wise man who knows that carrying burdens alone isn't noble, it's unnecessary. So the next time you feel that pull to say, "I've got this, I don't need anyone," pause for a moment. Ask yourself if that's strength speaking or pride in disguise. And remember Lincoln, who led with wisdom and humility, knowing full well that even the strongest men need others to stand tall. 5. I'm too old for that. One of the most damaging lies a man can tell himself is, "I'm too old for that." It slips out quietly, sometimes disguised as practicality or even self-deprecating humor. But underneath it is something far heavier, a resignation, a belief that the best chapters are already written and there's little left worth pursuing. It's the kind of thinking that closes doors long before they need to be closed. Intelligent men understand that this phrase isn't just limiting. It's toxic. It becomes a slow erosion of purpose, a quiet surrender of the life that's still there to be lived. I once read about a man named Harry Bernstein. At 93 years old, after spending his life working as a magazine editor and raising a family, he decided to write his first book. He called it The Invisible Wall, a memoir about his childhood in a poor English mill town, divided by religion and prejudice. It was rejected by several publishers before it was finally released. He was 96 when it hit the shelves. That book went on to international acclaim, translated into multiple languages, touching the lives of people around the world. He wrote 3 more books after that. Harry didn't buy into the lie that he was too old. He didn't tell himself it was too late. He had something to say, something to create, and he did. What struck me most about Harry's story was not the success, but the courage. The courage to believe that life still had more for him, that even in his 90s he wasn't finished growing, learning, or contributing. And that courage isn't exclusive to men like Harry. It's a choice we all face, sometimes daily. Do we listen to the voice that says we've missed our chance? Or do we embrace the possibility that as long as we have breath, we have purpose? The Stoics taught that age means nothing to the soul. Marcus Aurelius reflected on this truth, reminding himself that death is inevitable, yes, but until it comes, our duty is to live as fully and virtuously as we can. He believed that wisdom often comes with age, not because of the passing years, but because those who remain curious and courageous deepen their understanding over time. Growth doesn't stop with age, it ripens. I've seen men in their 60s learn new trades, start businesses, mentor young leaders. I've known others who let the weight of regret and time convince them to retreat from life. The difference is not circumstance, but mindset. A man who says, "I'm too old for that," has already closed the door. But a man who asks, "What can I do now?" opens it wide again. Age doesn't disqualify us from living boldly. It gives us more to offer. Experience, clarity, resilience, these aren't the signs of someone who's finished. They're the tools of someone just getting started. And that is the Stoic path, to keep learning, keep striving, until the very last moment. Because as long as we are here, there is still work to be done. If what you just heard resonated with you, give this video a like too, and don't forget to subscribe, because every time I discover a new perspective on life, I want you to be the first to hear it. 6. I'll do it later. There are few phrases more seductive and more destructive than "I'll do it later." It sounds harmless, rational even, a promise to ourselves that we'll get to it, eventually. But the truth is, later becomes the graveyard where most of our best intentions are quietly buried. Wise men understand this. And many have learned the hard way that delaying what matters doesn't buy you time, it robs you of it. Every time we tell ourselves we'll call tomorrow, we'll apologize next week, we'll start that project when things settle down, we are gambling with something we have no control over. Time. I once knew a man named Thomas. He was successful by any measure, a thriving business, a beautiful family, respect in his community. But he was always busy, too busy. He often told himself that he'd spend more time with his aging father later, when things at the office weren't so hectic. He postponed the fishing trip they had planned, delayed calling to catch up, pushed back visiting just to sit and talk. And then, one day, later, ran out. His father passed away suddenly, and Thomas was left with a phone full of drafts he never sent, and a heart full of things he never said. He shared this with me once, years later, not for sympathy but as a warning. We think we have time until we don't. The Stoics were painfully clear about this reality. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself daily of his own mortality, not to be morbid, but to sharpen his sense of urgency. He wrote, "You could leave life right now. Let that determine what you do and say and think." That's not just a philosophical thought experiment. It's a practice. It's a mindset that intelligent men adopt because they know the clock isn't in their hands. Time doesn't wait for us to be ready. It doesn't care about our plans or intentions. What we delay today, we may never get the chance to do tomorrow. That's why wise men act now. They make the phone call they've been putting off. They take the first uncomfortable step toward healing a broken relationship. They start the project that's been sitting in the corner of their mind, gathering dust and doubt. Not because it's easy, but because they understand that waiting for the perfect moment is a dangerous game that almost never pays off. I've experienced this in my own life. There were conversations I postponed because I didn't want to deal with discomfort. Letters I didn't write because I thought there'd be time. But when I finally stopped waiting and acted, something powerful happened. The weight lifted. Clarity replaced regret. And I realized that action, not intention, is what builds a life worth remembering. The Stoics teach us to live now, fully and with urgency. Later is an illusion that comforts us until it's too late. The man who acts today, who refuses to leave the important things undone, lives without regret. And that is true wisdom. Because opportunity doesn't knock twice. It fades quietly while we're busy waiting for a better time. 7. That's just how I am. One of the most limiting beliefs a man can hold on to is summed up in the phrase, "That's just how I am." It sounds definitive, like a full stop at the end of a sentence, but what it really signals is a quiet surrender, a decision to stop growing. Intelligent men avoid this mindset because they understand a truth that many ignore. We are not fixed beings, trapped by old habits or past identities. Who we are is shaped by what we choose to do over and over again. The moment a man declares himself incapable of change, he isn't defining his nature, he's refusing responsibility for it. I've seen this play out too many times. A man loses his temper often, and when called out, he shrugs and says, "That's just how I am." Another man avoids meaningful connection because he's uncomfortable with vulnerability and tells himself, "That's just who I've always been." These aren't statements of fact, they're excuses. Excuses that allow fear and inertia to masquerade as self-awareness. But deep down, what they reveal is resistance. The resistance to discomfort, to the difficult process of change, and to the reality that no man is finished becoming who he's meant to be. The Stoics confronted this head-on. They taught that we are not prisoners of our temperament, our past, or our impulses. Epictetus said that it is not things themselves that disturb us, but our judgments about them. Likewise, it's not our nature that limits us, it's the stories we tell ourselves about who we are. Change is uncomfortable. It requires self-examination and a willingness to let go of the familiar, even when that familiarity has become a source of pain. But the Stoics also believed that self-mastery was the highest calling, not because it was easy, but because it was necessary for a life of meaning. Growth demands honesty. It demands that we ask harder questions. Am I acting this way because it's truly who I am, or because it's easier than doing the work to change? Intelligent men choose the harder path. They recognize that wisdom isn't a trophy you earn and then display, it's a practice, a commitment to becoming a better version of yourself every day. Not because you hate who you are now, but because you respect yourself enough not to stay the same. In the end, "That's just how I am" is a way of closing the door on possibility. But the Stoics remind us that life itself is change. Nature is change. To resist it is to deny the very essence of being alive. The man who understands this doesn't fear change, he welcomes it. He sees himself as a work in progress, unfinished but willing. And in that willingness lies true wisdom. If you've ever caught yourself saying one of these seven things, trust me, you're in good company. I've been there too, more times than I'd like to admit. But here's the good news. Intelligent men aren't the ones who never make mistakes. They're the ones who recognize them and choose to do better. And that's exactly what we're doing here, becoming better, one thoughtful choice at a time. So, which one hit home for you today? Maybe it's time to leave. "That's just how I am" in the past, or finally retire. "I'll do it later," before later becomes never. Whatever it is, this is your invitation to take the next step. Because wisdom isn't about being perfect, it's about staying curious, staying humble, and always moving forward. If today's conversation sparked something in you, pass it on. Share this video with a friend who's walking this same path. And if you haven't yet, hit that subscribe button. See you to the next video.